lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic, a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2024 Motorsport Republica Christmas special.
Here we go. We're feeling very festive.
I know, it feels good. I'm nice and cozy and we're at the old stomping ground.
Yeah, we're at the place where it all happens.
So we were going to do it in the front casting couch, but we thought it looked a bit better out here. So a bit more Christmassy.
We got a Christmas tree. We got a live fireplace.
We're getting the heat off it.
Bro, beautiful. You're sweating.
Guys, we're at Big Ep today and we've been really excited about this one. So we're going to run through our number one moments, best fans, number one ticket holder, so on and so forth. We've got loads to get through and we're super excited. So this one's for the fans, by the fans.
By the fans. We are doing fraud. Who takes out fraud for the year? I wonder who that's going to be.
Yeah, I could pick that one. That's pretty easy.
What's been going on anyway?
Oh, mate, it's amazing time of the year, isn't it? We're getting ready for Chrissy. You're heading away.
Yeah.
And then we're having a little bit of time off and then back into it in January. So as we touched on last week in the MotoGP review show, we're going to have content coming all the way through. So we're super excited about that. A couple of special guests coming on. But yeah, Christmas special.
Yeah, how good, mate.
How good. I mean, the fans have been incredible this year. We've had so much great feedback. We've had people coming up to us, especially Phillip Island was just one of those unbelievable weekends. We came away from that thinking, well, it's just such a special thing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yes, we joke. Yes, we laugh. But we're fully into this, fully serious, and we love both MotoGP and Formula One. So what a time to be alive.
100%. Unfortunately, Daniel can't make it again today, but it's just he's stuck with us too. But yes, it's always a good time to be around. I'm going up to Hervey Bay for Christmas, so I'll be with pod favourite Dave Superbike Shaw.
Yes.
Riding some Ducatis around Hervey Bay.
If he lets you, yeah.
Yeah, no, he wants me on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Finally graduated.
What was the conversation? So he said, I want to, what bike would you ride?
I could take any of them, I think.
Okay. Jesus.
Take any of them. Okay. That's not a bad problem to have when you're going to say take any of them and he's got four Ducatis in his garage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He'll be on the Multistrada. He likes nice and comfort these days.
Or the Diablo these days.
Okay.
Hey, bit of you.
You should have a ride of that.
That'd yeah, be- I want to take that for a ride, so I will.
That's such a Queensland bike.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like when you want to be a Harley rider, but, you know, still got a little bit of wog in you.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, like self-respect.
You know what's crazy? I've seen a couple Harleys. I'm like, fuck, I'll own one.
Man, like, you know, one of my good mates, Kano, he's got a couple of Harleys, absolutely loves them.
Hard as nails?
Hard as nails. Soft as butter, actually, deep down, Kano.
Yeah, but standard country.
Yeah, standard country. But yeah, he loves it. It's obviously the sound.
I would get a Dyna. I wouldn't get a soft tail. I'd get a Dyna for like short shot pipes. I know exactly what I'll get, but yeah, that's. No, I'd still rather have a sports bike.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I've never ridden one, so I think if I had that experience, I might feel different. But it really is just a cruiser, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all bloody. They're all show and no go.
Yeah,
it's exactly.
That's so American though. It's the same with cars. Like it's all the cars they build is just all. Here we go, Curdy. No. Not yet. Sorry, Kenny. I got a little excited. It's the same with their cars. They like have these big V8s and they produce like 300 horsepower.
Yeah.
And then you got like the little Japanese cars, 2-liter turbos, and like 500 horsepower.
Well, like, bro, that's the Japanese efficiency.
Yeah,
but,
it is. It is.
You
it
know,
is.
They make something useful out of something small.
Yeah.
Small penis and stuff.
Well, they used, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's their life, I suppose, isn't it? So
all braids.
All braids.
Well, the Americans are just all swinging dick.
And big. Everything's bigger, better. You know?
Swinging dick hard.
Swinging dick hard. So
Cadillacs, Chevys. Yeah, I don't know what else they do.
Big Fords. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be mint. It's going to be hot and you love the heat. So, and then as we touched on last week, we're going to be heading to Thailand. Talk about hot.
Oh, bro, how exciting is that going to be?
Ooh.
I'm good.
So the research that I've done for Thailand, it is the hottest, one of the hottest areas of Thailand.
Yeah.
In the hottest part of the year of Thailand.
Now, I don't know if people, they might understand this a bit more after listening to our MotoGP review show, but you don't handle the heat.
Don't handle the heat.
Like, I've known you, we just calculated this before, for 18 years, and you sweat. Like, we could be at Siberia on a Sunday morning, pissing down rain sideways, and you'd still be sweating.
I'll give you an example of this. On Sunday, the missus made me go to the to Bunnings and get some lights to put up.
Yeah.
Man, the things got tangled. I cracked it. I broke it. I had to go back to Bunnings, buy new ones, came back.
So annoying.
Cracked it. It was sweaty because it was 35 degrees on Sunday. So hot. I broke it again. I grabbed my hat, threw it. I cracked it. Like fully dubby spit.
So you've done like the normal Bunnings experience.
So fully dubby spit. Today, beautiful 23 degrees.
Yeah.
Went to Bunnings, changed it again because it was broken again. So I had to go get another one. Came back, done in a breeze, beautiful. And then I continued to do other work around the house because couldn't handle the heat on Sunday.
When you exchanged it, did you exchange it saying it was already broken so you didn't have to pay?
Of course.
Yeah, okay, good.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, nah, just the wrong color.
Two snaps. Some poor guy.
Oh, man, don't worry about it. They'll make enough money, seriously.
Oh, bro. It's but like Bunnings, me with the t-shirts.
Bunnings is the best like that. And that's why we keep going back. And like the other thing is, while I'm lining up to buy the more expensive lights this time, I actually spend $20 more. Then I buy a $100 gift card for the old man for Christmas. And I buy something else and I buy something else. I'm like, you know, that's how they make it up anyway. So
yeah, I actually knew someone that worked at Bunnings, and all they would do is they would advertise their like super low prices on whatever it is.
Yep.
And then they'll just jack the prices up on everything else. Yeah, and no one notices.
So they come in, people come in for a really cheap something and they spend $20 more on something else that's worth nothing.
Yeah, like it could be a bloody cheap rake and then they're getting they're leaving a furniture set.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or the other way around.
But I mean, the best business in the world, isn't it? One of the best. I love Bunnings. So
yeah, it's handy, that's for sure. And I'm no handyman. You wouldn't catch me. You wouldn't catch me on the tools.
Well, you had a big 3 weeks last year.
Doing the old house, selling the house.
Very impressed by that. And
that was a pain in the ass.
Worked your ass off. And shout out to Jono, James's uncle, came down and worked tirelessly.
Destroyed your chainsaw.
Destroyed the chainsaw, took half my tools back with him. That's why you don't lead tools out.
Bro, we were cutting out this massive bush. It was basically just a giant weed, but it was a bush. It was ridiculous. And it was, when they put it in, it was just full of wire to obviously keep it up to the... But it was just all tangled in the roots. And it was like 7 o'clock at night because it was daylight savings, or 7:30. It was a Saturday night and bro, he doesn't stop. My uncle, it's standard uncles. They just don't. They're different. They don't stop. They are built different. He's got the chainsaw. I'm telling you, like 2 inches from my hand, cutting through this. He could have just slipped, and then bang, like my hand would have been just gone. It would have been sliced open. But by the end of it, because we're cutting through all the wire as well, because there's so much wire, you couldn't not miss it. Like your chain was fucked.
Yeah. Well, to your credit, you bought me another chain for it and swapped it over. So
yeah. Oh, well, that's what we do.
I went to the shops, bought the change, and James does the old, I'll transfer you, which is totally fair enough.
Ah, yeah. Well, shit, come on. You can't fucking have your cake and eat it too.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah. You can't. you bury your head in the sand and you scream and then you move on. That's as simple as that.
Right? Isn't that what we all do? Isn't that what it's called being an adult?
That's true. Very true. But yeah, that shout out. That was and you did that house up, made a little bit of money. So that's the main thing. So
yeah, fuck.
Did well. James came from the depths of despair to the man he is today. So
yeah, just a shit relationship to a house that we only lived in for 6 months and then sold it.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass. And then I had renters in there because it was COVID.
Yep.
It was COVID. I had to put tenants in, and then they got done for like selling weed out of there. No, vapes. It was vapes.
Okay.
And then there was a leak in the house. The floor warped. Fuck. What a fucking nightmare.
So James was in, tell you a little story, 2020, COVID, mid-COVID, okay? So we're both house arrested pretty much, and James is sort of having a bit of a rough trot. And
standard.
Carl said, come over, mate, we'll come over, we'll do something. comes over and pulls in the driveway and comes in the house. He's got a fine in his hand. He's got done, jumped 20 Ks over.
Bro, nah, not even. It was like something stupid. It was 10 Ks over. I was doing 50 in a 40 zone on a downhill.
And you lived one street away from me as well. Like, that's cool. We call that James Shaw luck. But look where you are now, mate. And
yeah, it's crazy. We all go through it, but people have a lot harder fucking lives.
That's
it,
100%. And anyone's doing it tough at home, you can always get in touch and we'll help what we can.
Yeah, that's it. Shoot us a message.
Motorsport Republica psychologists.
Yeah, bro, 100%. Especially after COVID, what a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
The good thing about COVID, though, is all we did, I used to come over to your house and we used to try and polish off a bottle of Jack Daniel's honey.
Honey, yeah.
And then watch dash cam videos until like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember like
that's all we did.
That first bottle going, and then you cracked the second bottle.
Yeah, that was fucked.
Well, we're on here. Yeah. We're on here. And drinking it with Coke as well with so much sugar. Fuck. Yeah, it was dash cam videos. That was like every weekend. Yeah, I mean.
That's all we did. That's all we could do.
I don't understand when people go, I wish we were there again, locked up again. I'm like, it was fucking, we could still do that.
I know. We
still do that on a Friday and a Saturday night. I know. And like, it was so fucked for small businesses, and hopefully Dan Andrews gets what he deserves.
Well, for international listeners, because there's thousands of them, but
yeah, true.
Melbourne was the most locked down city, so we really couldn't do anything. Like, we couldn't drive to places, we couldn't go anywhere.
No. For 180 days over a fucking 6 month period or something.
Man, no, that was sorry, wild.
After a year period, I should say.
So. PTSD. And you know what? One of the only things that got us through was MotoGP.
100%. Yep. And that's how we got here. And that's where we're here today, pretty much.
What was Formula One situation like through COVID?
They're very similar. We're just racing with no fans. I mean, that was the thing.
You know what's a crazy thing? You didn't really notice it. Like, it's not like football.
Yeah.
You know, where
AFL
really
is terrible.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
But it does add atmosphere when you're at the event, but you can almost, you know, you don't really need it.
No.
When you're watching it on TV to a degree.
The commentators do a great job.
Yeah.
And that's the most important.
It just visually looks better.
Yeah.
With fans.
It's interesting that 2020 season, when obviously Australia got cancelled.
Bro, and we're about to drive into the track.
We're lining up pretty much. We tell people.
Yeah.
And that season will go down in, the cars were some of the fastest cars ever.
Yeah, okay.
But no one got to see it.
Yeah.
So Mercedes were at the peak of their power at that point. Max was coming good, obviously, 2021 and won the championship. Yeah. But that 2020 season, there's some footage of those cars, especially going around Silverstone, incredible. Like the Maggots and Beckett section in the backside of the track, like full flat. Like, so they had to actually take aero off in 2021 because the cars were just getting way too fast.
So were they braking? Because remember Monza's Michael Schumacher? Was it Michael Schumacher's or like Kimi Raikkonen? Someone had a lap record for years.
Yeah. Schumacher 04 in the Ferrari.
That lasted how long?
Oh, yeah. It's I think it still might be today, to be honest.
Is it like a outright one lap record, you know, when they had qualifying tires or something like that? Was it something to do with that?
I think the also thing was the second chicane was a lot less tighter.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, those, you got to remember those 04 cars were still the fastest accelerating cars, I believe, going up to.
And straight line?
In a straight line, yeah.
But where, it was just the corners now, they're a lot quicker.
They're a lot quicker, yeah. So yeah, that's, there's still like, I mean, Bahrain had Petro de la Rosa's. He had a lap record there for a lot of years as well in the McLaren in like 06 or something.
It's interesting. You see that in Moto3, Moto2, and sometimes in MotoGP, just depending on, realistically, it's weather conditions.
Yeah.
But you see, even Moto3, Moto2, you'll still see lap records from like 2014, like Tom Luthi. You know what's crazy? I saw a stat not too long ago. Pecco Bagnaia's race winning Mugello time was like 3.5 minutes quicker than Rossi in 2002.
God.
Or 2003.
God.
So he would have lapped him plus a half in a race.
Jesus.
How
crazy.
Wild is that stat?
That is crazy.
Both, in quotations marks, modern four strokes.
Yep.
But the development of, and like that Honda was the best thing ever.
Mm.
It was the best bike that was, you know, grace this earth, and the Ducati just destroys it now.
Well, it's like they were going 30 seconds a lap, 30 seconds a race faster this year than last year.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's unbelievable. Like Marquez said, like if you finished last in one of the races, you would have finished first the year before.
Mm.
That's how quick that's how much the development is.
Yeah, it's really it's great, and we talk about it a lot. It's great, but at the same time, I couldn't care to give a shit if the racing's no good.
No, exactly right. That's where slowing the cars down or the bikes down isn't a bad thing. I mean, that's what we're going to see happen in 2027 for MotoGP, 2026 for F1.
I was going to say, is F1 would be the same, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Because it's interesting. You look at like those 05, 06, 07 cars. They were super slow, but they looked fast.
Yeah.
On the footage, you saw them changing the directions really fast, but they weren't fast.
You know what the difference is as well? The sound. The sound makes it so much different. Yeah, like 100%. It makes you think it's faster than what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
You know, like a Harley.
Wait, we just did a full circle.
Yeah, it's a full circle.
All right, let's get into it. What's number one, Jimmy boy?
All right, so Thomas Love, favorite moments of the year.
Yep.
So this is on track and off track. So for Daniele, off track was, and it was kind of on track, funny enough, is he was in the practice box. He was in the Aprilia box for practice. Yeah, at Phillip Island.
Yeah.
Watching practice before Massimo Raviola and, some other Italian guy. And went on TV for that as well. Him and his old man.
It was so funny because you and me were in the media center.
Yeah.
Walking down to have a look at the session. True. We look left and we see Daniel and Pino.
Crazy.
On the pit wall for a Aprilia in a practice session. Them going first.
Yeah.
And then
they're cheering. And on TV, which is cool. And we got so many messages saying Daniel was on buddy TV.
Great.
Which is very
funny. That's unbelievable.
And on track for him, Italy 1, 2, and 3 for the World Superbikes at Phillip Island.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. What about yourself,
T-Shabs? I think my favorite moment on track was Senna Agius at Phillip Island. It was just an incredible experience to, first of all, see an Aussie up there on the podium. Second of all, we're in the back of the pits hugging, spending time with his family. And then going forward to that night, we're in, and we'll never forget this, we're at the pub, we walk in, he is off his face, pissed, but awesome, like happy. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Big hug, bought him a drink, didn't need it, but that's who cares.
Definitely didn't need it.
Then he says, don't let my dad see me too pissed. And I said, that's fine. That's all good. Senna's dad in the pits that day said, don't let him get too pissed. So we had the both sides.
Yeah.
Senna somehow gets on the bar.
Jack Miller lifts him up.
Jack Miller lifts him up on the bar and he's saying, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. We both look to the left. Senna's dad walks in, sees him on the bar, goes, oh, no. I mean, what an experience. And then later in the night, we're talking to Travis Ord, who's the CEO of the Grand Prix Corporation. And we introduced them to each other. And it was just one of those amazing experiences. And hopefully we can experience that again. Because just incredible. And his race was just amazing. So, and then off track, again, off track, but off track, on track, was we were so lucky to have... to spend the day at the track on the Thursday at Phillip Island.
Yep.
And there was a couple of things with the track walk for us was incredible.
Yeah.
For me, the coming home ride or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I just jumped over the fence.
Yeah.
Didn't know if I was allowed to be there or not, but I think it was a bit of a free-for-all.
It was a bit. It's standard MotoGP, but...
And we had all the photographers of the world there. And I've got my little iPhone like this.
Printed onto the Republic account. No one else.
And the girls from... GP Corporation were pissing themselves laughing. I think you guys were laughing because I'm trying to get photos.
That was good. And then we all just jumped on. And then we were up next to Mick Doohan on his bike. And everything was wild.
Just wild.
That was probably, for me, the greatest day I've ever had at the MotoGP of any sporting event.
It was wild. Me too. There was no racing.
Nah.
There was no racing.
Perfect weather.
Perfect weather. And we'll obviously experience this again, but... just the first time that happening, and then picking up our media passes that morning, it all just worked out perfectly. Yeah. So it was a real iffy. What's going on with our passes? We didn't get passes until that morning, so
we didn't know what was happening until that morning.
We got given these. Fuck, it was stressful. We got given 10 pit passes that never worked anyway from another business or whatever it was, and then Daniel went back in and got the, yeah. So it was all happening, but incredible day. What about you, Jimmy boy?
For me, it has to be, what did I write down? It has to be off track was the after party.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's a few reasons, you know, hanging out with obviously Jack was awesome, Senna and Jacob and Joel. They were all there, all the Aussies. They're so cool. And then, you know, on the dance floor, yelling at Maverick Vinales, calling him a fraud, probably while we're blocked. you know, Pecco was there, Bezecchi and all those guys. It was just really cool.
Yeah, I...
Curdy, what'd you say? You saw like four sets of legs in the cubicles from some people.
Yeah, there was a bit going on.
They were jacking each other off, or there was some, some white sniffles. Snow sniffling about, mate.
Yeah, I think there was.
I think there was too. But it was funny. There was a scenario when we're on the dance. I'm off my face and we're dancing.
Off your face is a...
On the snow stuff, on the liquid stuff. And I'm dancing with Rulston. And then I think Nepa comes to the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
And I grab Nepa like this around.
Sweaty?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's like, what the fuck? And then Jacob's like, no, he's with me. And he's like, oh, cool. Hey, bro. Because he's like this little 4 foot nothing little
twig.
And this big, overweight, sweaty car salesman just jumping on him at the fucking pub top level Phillip Island.
Yeah.
But yeah, just an incredible night. I was so sick as well.
Yeah, you and Curdy got so sick,
and probably I was a super spreader that night.
100%. I don't know how any of the riders didn't get sick.
And you know, just incredible performance by myself. I had a midnight weightlift as well, which is incredible.
Yeah, you did. You had to lift something real cheesy up.
That was another
funniest thing I've ever seen.
Another extraordinary moment in my short Olympic career.
Curdy, we probably can't say too much of what happened there, but you need to dive into the. You have to let us know why this person / thing doesn't like Tom anymore. doesn't know what we're talking about. He does not know what we're talking about.
I'm a bit of a love or hate kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think he's the...
I'm going to leave no comment.
Yeah.
You need to figure that out for us, bro.
No, I think he figured it out, but he's just been very...
coy.
He's like Switzerland over there. Switzerland in the wars.
Very rich, but wants to have the white flag up.
Yeah, that's
I'll,
it. That's
I'll stay
it.
Neutral.
And my on-track favorite moment was, again, Phillip Island, Marquez coming from 14th. That was awesome.
Yeah, incredible. I think, so 5 out of our 6 moments were all Phillip Island.
Standard.
And that just shows you how... some special mentions. I mean, like, there were some incredible performances throughout the year. Martin in France for me was an incredible performance. He stalked Pecco, passed him, took the lead, and then went away with it. It was a great performance.
Bagnaia, Sepang in the main race. Him and Morbidelli really going at it. And funny to say that, did you see those stuff I put up today of Davide Tardozzi yelling at Bagnaia and that little doggo? We have to watch that.
And then the Maurizio was sitting next to him as well.
Maurizio. Domizia?
Domizia. So, yeah, interesting.
And like saying, you know, these guys are more basically ruthless than him and you know, stop being a good guy, which you've been saying the whole year.
Yeah, but when was that? Was that at Sepang or was that?
That was at the flyway. I think that was after Thailand.
That was Phillip Island after Thailand.
Oh, sorry, like a flyway. Indonesia or Thailand or something. It was one of those ones.
I think he had in the whole year has been aggressive enough. I don't think he's not being not aggressive, but.
Okay.
I thought that was harsh from Tardozzi, but who knows?
He's a hothead, Mop.
You need more context as well, you know.
Yeah, well, there was more context to it if you slid. You got to watch it anyway. You got to watch it.
I have seen
it. Lost in translation.
I haven't seen it. I've just seen the photos.
Yeah, gotcha. Nah. So it's always going to be our favorite ones if we're gone there. And then they'll probably go to Thailand next year and then they'll be our favorite because it'll be something new and different.
Yeah,
and
true, 100%.
Something crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been amazing moments, and like fill a bar. Like, I'm so happy Thailand because we have that something to, you know, earlier in the year. So
I know, another wait 365 days. You know, what was another amazing performance for the year. David Alonso. Seven race wins in a row. And then he had like how many wins for the year? 15 or something crazy. Yeah. You never thought you'd see that. You never see that in Moto 3. You just never do. It's just such an utter domination. And Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, he's going to be a star. And like, we talk about this once every 10-year talent that comes through. And we've had a Rossi. We've had a Marquez. We all thought that Pedro Acosta was going to be that next talent. And he does definitely look like he's going to be. But you're going to have this kid right at his heels in like 2 to 3 years' time. So
hopefully
something to really look forward to. And hopefully he makes the right career decisions, because we've seen a lot of people sort of lost in those smaller classes over the years. So, but I think someone winning this many times is never going to be lost. So
no, that's right. And I think, yeah, he overtook Valentino's record, which is just, you know, wild in itself.
Oh, unbelievable. And yeah, it's something to look forward to in Moto 2 next year. Moto 2 for me, as I've said in the last few weeks, is what I'm looking forward to next year.
We would never have heard that out of my mouth.
Not
even my mouth.
Nah, 5 years ago. I mean, it was just, I didn't even watch it. I skipped it. It was Moto 3, go do something and then come back for Moto GP. So, but that class, those even engines and the talent in there is just so exciting.
Yep.
And the more you watch something, the more you get into it. And that's the other thing.
True.
Because then you get to know the personalities, the battles. Like if I turn on a NASCAR race, I'm like, this is fucking boring unless we see a crash. I get a lot of people who come up to me and say, oh, F1's so boring unless you see a crash. Yeah, but you need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You need to know there's a championship battle. You need to know that this guy doesn't like this guy. You need to know that, you know, if he passed him last week and so he wants to give it revenge, that sort of thing. And that's more things you learn.
Yeah. Motorsport and a lot of sport is building a story.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fun thing. And it's however you take that story as well as a fan.
And the other thing is, the more you know, it's like the classic saying, the more you know, the less you know. The more you learn about something, you go, oh my God, there's so much more to this as well.
Yeah. So I've actually found that out doing this pod, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I thought I knew so much. And then like we know, the more you know, it's like far out, the less we also know.
Exactly right.
And what goes on. Tomislav, next one on the agenda for our Xmas special is our favorite guests of the year.
Yep.
So I've had some absolute rippers. But, you know, it's so interesting talking to these people. And if you haven't listened to many of them, I'd highly recommend you do, because, you know, we've had like Aussie Superbike champions, MotoGP riders, MotoGP mechanics. It's just people, Isle of Man TT winners, like just people that have just done amazing stuff. And it's so interesting to dive into their personality and with long form conversations as well. It's really interesting to kind of figure out what makes them tick and why they do it.
What's been the biggest mystery for me this year, especially with the pod, is we're getting more views on our normal pod than we are the special guest pod.
Yeah, that is strange.
It's just crazy. Like I thought we would get all these views on a special guest pod, and then, you know, we had the true diehards listening to our normal weekly one. But it's, you guys, go back and watch these pods, because you learn so much. I mean, I'll go into my guest of the year, and that was Gavin Evatt. He's been a MotoGP commentator for 15, 20 plus years. Yeah. And he's inside of watching every single race for the past 20 years. He knows those guys. He knows the bikes inside out, and for him to talk about the Rossi battle with Lorenzo and all that kind of stuff, it is just a great podcast to listen to.
Yeah,
and that's why he was my favorite. And give you a bit of context as well, we are two podcasts in at that point when Gav comes over to my
we're cooked
beach house. I'm 3 or 4 beers deep, to be honest with you. I probably had enough. Yeah. I was done. It was a big day.
Yeah.
Gav comes on, he goes, I said, do you want a beer, Gav? Yeah, mate, let's do it. Had a beer. We had a beer together, jumped on the pod, and it was just the most amazing an hour and a half for me ever.
Yeah.
So good.
He was so interesting. And interesting to hear, you know, how MotoGP's developed over 20 plus years. Like, he went in, I think, around 2000s.
Yeah.
And just what's changed is in how much bigger the paddock's got. And then how there's a lot of people that's still in there, but then so much turnover at the same time because they're so far away from their families.
Yeah, exactly.
For so long.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, it's hard. It'd be a hard gig. I mean, they're traveling to every single race. Like, we talked to Fran. She works for MotoGP. Corby, she ran into us at GP. Shout out to Fran. And She goes, yeah, we just travel. We get there on a Wednesday. Mm. We get there. We leave on a Monday or a Tuesday. Then we get to the next place on a Wednesday. And it's just so on. Like, you might be away for 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, that's all right.
I remember speaking to Johnny Hopkins last year, and he said he hadn't been home for 3 months.
Yeah, it's wild.
Because he's, you know, he's done...
Bung leg.
He's come to Australia. Then he's got to go to America for something, then England for something, then come back for another race. Like, yeah. I mean, sacrifice, yes. Doing what they love, yes.
And it's interesting, what Gavin Emmett was talking about as well is, and I never thought of this, is, and it'd be like this with F1, I'm sure, is, so you got like your Moto 2, Moto 3 mechanics, and they have their off season, right? Well, firstly, they're flying economy everywhere, especially in those small budget teams, so it's a pain in the ass if you don't have for your flyways. Then they might get a few weeks off. Then they got to go back to Japan because then the Japanese have to show them how to work on the new bike.
Yeah.
Isn't that just crazy?
Then
they got to learn all that. They got to learn how to strip down all these brand new bikes, all the brand new parts. And then testing's back on in the end of January anyway.
And you see them on a Sunday late afternoon and they're packing up everything, washing everything.
That's a shit show, like, man. It's a hard life.
It's not glamorous.
Nah, it's not.
It's not glamorous at all.
You know, it's only glamorous maybe if you're... You know, speaking of Brent, I think at the end of his career when he was with Valentino, with the biggest rider in history, he got to do business class, I think, for flights. But if you're just like, you know, some normal man, some normal mechanic, you're almost doing it for the love.
Yeah, doing it for the love, yeah. Yeah, and you have to be so passionate. They probably are so passionate about bikes and cars and
racing.
Whatever. But
and most of them are ex-racers and stuff as well, whether it be in BSB or Italian Superbike Championship or something like that.
Yeah.
Daniali's was Troy Herfoss, another amazing episode. So that was just Daniel and I in some absolute shithole of a suburb in Brisbane. I think I want to say Ipswich. I'm pretty sure it's Ipswich. So I'm sorry for all our Ipswich listeners. That place sucks.
Well, they probably
know
it's a shithole as well.
I went for a run in the morning before we went out for the day, and all I could smell was weed, meth. There was like gangs of youths walking around everywhere.
Youths?
Yeah, like youths.
Youths,
young guys.
Yep.
And it was like a Friday morning and people were just sitting on front of their porches. Like, because you know it's a shithole when there's like couches in the front of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, shit, and just smoking billies. It was gross.
Yeah, billies.
It was very interesting. But Troy, amazing, amazing guest. Really interesting guy. Obviously, just won the Baggers Championship. He's won the Aussie Superbike Championship. He's done heaps of motocross, super motard back in the day in the States. Legit guy. Really, 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 really nice guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah,
one of the best in the paddock.
Yeah, he is.
And it was a very, very interesting listen. It was a lot of fun, I must admit, which is good. But you weren't there for that one, were you?
No, unfortunately not.
And my one, Cam Donald.
Yeah, Cam was amazing. And you know
what? Man TT.
You know what's crazy about Cam? He rambled on, and he thought he was rambling, but we were loving it.
Bro, like, eating out of his palm.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, and he goes, "Oh, I remember this. I got a story for you." Yeah. And we're like, "Oh, what is it?"
And he's like, "I'll just tell it quickly." I'm like, "You don't have to tell it quickly.
Tell
us."
Just that's the whole idea of a podcast. There's no time constraints, and he didn't get that.
Nah,
like, just
it was so
we
funny.
Can be here for 3 hours if you want to.
Yeah.
And telling that story about John McGuinness with the garlic.
Yeah, that video went crazy on this.
Yeah. So John McGuinness. He was racing behind Cam, and Cam stopped because it was an accident, yellow flag, and then they put up together, and he goes, "Well, why did you slow down so early?" And John said, "Oh, when it rains, you smell the garlic in the air, so you know there's water on the road." I'm like, "These guys are nuts." So,
bro, crazy. They're so nuts. And he would wake up in the morning saying, you know, I'd look at myself in the mirror and say, "I don't care if I'm going to die today."
Yeah, I mean, you have to be like that, I suppose.
You know, and one of his first road races, I think his first road street race was Macau.
Yeah, which is a crazy track.
You know, if you know that one, Jesus Christ, man. So, such an interesting guy and a different mindset. And it was crazy. We went into this podcast thinking, you know, Isle of Man TT is going to be the most interesting thing he talked about. And the most interesting, bloody God, the most interesting thing he talked about was doing that 24-hour enduro race in South Australia in the middle of winter where he just raw dogs whatever DRZ or WR or KDM he was on through the country, South Australia, freezing cold, winter, riding for 24 hours.
Well,
and you can't have any help.
The most amazing thing about that is when he said he was doing a 24-hour race. We're like, oh, that's crazy. Thinking to ourselves, he'll have two riders.
At least.
And then he was talking about, you know, you're doing this, doing that. And then I think I asked, or you asked, he said, wait, you do the 24 hours all by yourself? He's like, yeah. We're like, what? It was like the most shocking moment of the year for me.
Bro, actually, yeah, if we should have a segment of most shocking moments of the year. I think that's the winner.
For me, that was the most, like, amazing thing I've ever heard a guest say.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Yeah, and just a race that no one, I never heard of it. And it's like people that are really in the know about it. And you know, the people who ride that would just be like hardened country bumpkins.
Yeah,
I've seen photos of some of the people doing it.
Yeah. It's like, because you have to be insane to do that as well.
Insane.
Like, it's just.
And for what? Like, what do you get? A plaque? For all that pain.
I know, he's got to like pack everything and then drive to South Australia. It's like a 10-hour drive as well. And you finish, you got to drive back home.
And then he's concreting.
For the love of it. For the love of it.
It's crazy. What? We'll do enduro riding back in the day and we'd be fucking cooked after 2 hours.
Not even 2 hours.
Yeah, that's good. Beautiful.
Not even 2 hours. It was fucking like half an hour you were cooked.
Yeah.
24 hours. I don't think I could stay awake for 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
It'd be like World War II torture, you know?
Well, they were awake for bloody how long? Yeah, 3 days.
Oh, be surely there's no drug testing on that Cam Donald race.
Nah, they would have special pit stops, I reckon.
Yeah, jeez, you'd have to.
You know what I'm saying, Shisho?
Yeah.
All right. Best livery for the year. I don't know. It's a bit of a contentious topic with you.
Yeah.
But you've written an answer.
Yeah, I think my favorite livery was the Senna Tribute McLaren livery at Monaco.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the... and it was something different. I thought it was going to be white and red, but it was more the Senna helmet color, Brazilian flag color. So it was... and a bit of yellow, sorry, as well. So it was really special. And the car did look great.
Because a lot of people, we get a lot of messages about this, Tomislav, has your idea of special liveries changed? Are you warming to it?
I don't like a special livery. I do. It's cool. But I've always said this, run it from practice one to qualifying, but in the race, go back to the original livery.
God, that's a wild. It's ridiculous.
Because, and you know what? We had those people that were agreeing with me because in the
race. Yeah, we had one person.
When you're watching the race, you're like, what the fuck's going on? They all look different. It's too hard to know which is who. And I stand by that.
Wow.
Yeah, I stand by that.
We agree on a lot of things, I must admit. Even our tips can sometimes be really similar.
Yeah, they can be very similar, actually. Yes. James gets my tips first and then does his. So, anyway.
Anyway, I do all the editing. So.
Yeah. I know. Why would you anyway? What did you get out of that? A plaque?
Yeah, not even.
You got the respect.
I got the respect from fans.
From Ish Cold Papa.
From the fans. I don't know what I was talking about.
Special liveries. We agree on a lot of things together, but...
Oh, that's definitely not one of them.
No. And no one does... Look, no one does agree with me, but you know what? In this podcast, we all have to have different opinions, and I think that's a good thing.
Mm.
If we all thought, yeah, that's the same thing, then it would be boring as, wouldn't it?
100%.
So...
This is a crazy opinion. In my autism, like, you know, it hooks onto one
thing. Yeah, I know. I saw your eyes twitching. So, Daniel's special favorite livery was Chantra in Thailand, which was the gold look after he won the championship.
Nah. Chantra didn't win the championship. Aguirre won the championship. That's just plain old racism right there, Cody.
I got my Asians mixed up, sorry.
Bro, two different continents.
Well, actually, no, it's not. It is, yeah. No, not the same continent. It's the same continent.
Different countries, at least.
Different countries. But you know what? The Japanese picked him to go into their Japanese team, so he must be like half and half or something, surely.
He's full-blown, bro. He's tanned.
Might be like Alex Albon.
That's weird.
Full British accent, moved to Britain when he was a kid, and then he races under the Thai flag.
That's the only reason, for the money.
The money.
No, it is Somkyat Chantra's Thai special tiger livery.
We're going to see Chantra's first race on a MotoGP bike in his home country. That's going to be pretty cool.
P17,
yeah.
Do absolutely fuck all year, and I'll be surprised if he even makes top 10 for any races.
Well, the thing is, he's got no chance at all. Like,
that's what you got.
He's got no bike that's going to be able... He's... you know, he's not the most talented guy out there either. So, like, yeah, it's going to be just a Nakagami all over again. I just don't understand it at all, but...
We understand that.
Well, Iguru would have had that seat easily, but he chose the wise option, so...
Yeah, the wisest option.
Well, to be honest, it's probably the best seat at the moment, Aprilia, other than a Ducati, because you got KTM in the hole, you got, you know, Yamaha. Probably Yamaha is probably, I think they'll have a good year. We'll see.
I hope so.
I'm looking forward to our predictions.
Yeah, true. Mine has to be Aprilia. It's got to be Aprilia, the 75th anniversary, Silverstone rounds, which was incredible. Loved all of them. Bagged out a few at the time, but now looking back on them, I liked them. But the Aprilia Chesterfield one was incredible. Max Biaggi, homage.
Yeah, I think it was a great livery. I think they could have done a lot more with... A lot of teams could have done a lot more.
The Honda looked amazing. The Yamaha looked amazing. Rossi's could have done better. What do you do with LCR? Just, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
But I think overall it was really good. But I love that Aprilia. And then they released like a... What they released, Curdy? RSV4 Chesterfield Aprilia thing, like $120,000 or something. That track only bike. Go on.
Yeah, they did. That thing was worth a shit ton of money. That thing, Chesterfield. And I don't think I've seen anyone in Australia with one.
Really?
I haven't seen anyone with it.
Do you have a moment that sticks out for you this year, Cody?
A moment?
Yeah. Could be pod related, could be MotoGP, could be F1.
That's what I'm trying to think right now, actually.
Do you want me to let you sit on it for a bit?
Let me sit on it for a bit.
You fucking sit on it, mate.
Recollect.
All right, next.
Should we have a drinks break?
Oh, yeah, it's cut for a sec. Guys, just want to say a massive shout out to our amazing sponsor, motoheaven.com.au. Now, Tom, I've actually had the privilege of going down to their store and seeing what they do. And the amount of packages that they send out and the amount of orders they have is they've got a streamlined process. It's awesome. We want to give them a massive shout out because they do same day dispatch or next day dispatch. They do all the biggest brands, Shoei, HJC, Alpine Stars, Dine Easy. They've got an amazing website, amazing parts finder. You can get all the parts for your bike as well. So get down to motoheaven.com.au and you can get all your needs for your motorcycles, and that's for Australia and New Zealand.
While Curdy thinks of his number one moment this year, we're just going to have a bit of a cheers. Bit of a Guinness.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, Guinness.
Cheers. Oh. Thanks for an amazing year. To Daniel as well.
Yep. And Curdy.
And Curtis, of course.
Oh, yeah. I've never been into Guinness until now. Fuck, it's fucking good.
Yeah, Curtis, your favourite memory of the year. Have you got anything for us? Did you have a good time at all? Did you enjoy yourself? Or would you rather be home playing video games? Just to be honest with us.
What about Phillip Island? Something Phillip Island? What about Tom with Cheesy?
What about the backyard cricket? What about you sleeping with this two, Pino and Daniel snoring their heads off?
Tennis. Thursday track walk. After party. He's a thinker, but Curdy is really understands.
I think I'll put it for Rossi winning the last Le Mans of 2024 on the BMW.
I thought he was going to say like 03 or something.
Oh, fuck. I can confidently say...
Was that 2023?
Curdy, I don't care anymore. Yep. I can confidently say that I will never know what comes out of your mouth next.
Yeah.
That's a good answer, but... Yeah, he won this year.
Yeah, he won at
Le Mans.
He won the.
Yeah. Hey, you're wearing the hat. Oh, you got a. We got Bathurst. Rossi's Bathurst hat. Where'd you get that?
That was at Phillip Island.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that they were in town. We went to that.
Yeah, on sale.
Yeah, I have no idea. And I got.
I tell you, know you cashed
it
up.
It doesn't matter, mate. Have you seen his bank account?
Yeah,
I have actually.
Yeah, yeah.
The WRT jersey, I think, as well.
Oh yeah, that looks nice. You know what? I'm not a massive fan of BMW cars or motorcycles.
I like BMW cars and motorcycles. I disagree with that.
Not a fan of the bikes, but the cars I don't mind.
But that S1000 is a beautiful bike.
Bro, it's beautiful bike, of course. But it just doesn't get me like going like a Ducati or a Aprilia.
It's it's beautiful, but it's like a boring beautiful.
Yeah, they do say that.
Apparently, they're so good, they're boring. That's the problem. But like, you know, if you're riding at Anger, I'm sure it's amazing.
Well, that's what the boys were saying at Phillip Island on the track day, because you can hire them. Mm. And they said, oh, they're so much fun.
Yeah.
But they just don't, they're just, they're so German where they just don't fuck up.
Efficient.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'd call it a fuck up, but, you know, they haven't fucked up many times, Germany. Over
They would ride through Poland very, very nicely.
Without any defense.
Yeah.
Next one, Jim Bob.
Alrighty. Next one is, this is an interesting one for MotoGP and F1. We'll go F1 first. But season defining moments. Thomas Love.
Do we have that on here?
I'll do that. This is why I run the show, mate. Max winning in Brazil is what we said for Formula One. There's a season defining championship winning moment.
Okay.
I got the same message as you, so don't worry about it, all right?
I don't have that here.
Autism, your autism brain, bro. Look right here. MotoGP F1.
It doesn't say season defining.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Your fault.
So this is a collective decision.
Yep.
Let me just fill everyone in at home. This is a collective decision of season defining moments for MotoGP or F1.
Correct. F1 first. We all unanimously agreed.
Max's win in Brazil.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably one of the drives of the decade, I would say. It was an amazing moment this year. And again, these sort of things, and we've touched on it, of course, you don't realize how amazing they were until after the race. And, you know, you saw him going through the field and the wet conditions of Brazil.
Bro, it had everything.
Yeah.
It had absolutely everything. And look, the championship was won probably six rounds ago, let's be honest. But that... Max, you wouldn't say his back was against a wall, but people were like, he's not the fastest anymore.
Mm.
Then he starts, P17. It's pissing down rain. He's at a Brazilian Ayrton Senna. It's just a Senna race. It's a Senna race win, what he did.
Yep.
And then to come through the field like he did, absolutely incredible. And then as soon as he did that, we all said, we already knew he was all going to win the championship, but like it just shut any other door.
Well, that's why it was the scene defining moment. So...
And another season-defining moment is my and a lot of people's hatred for Lando Norris, saying it was just luck, it was a fluke.
Yeah, he retracted.
He did retract it, but what a ridiculous thing to say!
Crazy, just crazy, and not in the fastest car. Like if he was in a dominant car, yes, it would have been an amazing performance. But he was in probably the third or fourth fastest car that weekend. So.
And it shows you how much changeable conditions and rain evens the field up. And then we always know it's where the drivers and the riders really shine.
Yep. And for MotoGP, James.
MotoGP, Tom, is Pecco's sprint crash.
Yeah, that was incredible. We touched on this
in Sepang, I should say.
Oh, yes. Yep. I mean, he also for me, I would say Barcelona as well on the last lap. But Sepang, it was that moment in time where his hands were up going, what the hell just happened?
12 points he lost.
Yeah.
Gone. And I think it shot it out 25 points of a couple of rounds to go. And I never thought I would see that. Like, you know, I think he just clipped the inside of the curb. And then as soon as I saw that, I didn't think, okay, Jorge Martin's got it. But I was like, he's got one hand on that trophy now. Like, this is such a big moment. And then I'm a massive conspiracy theorist and, I was still thinking that Ducati was going to do the nuclear option.
Yep. The most option.
Yeah. Exactly right.
The but yeah, it was. Option. You could see the collective Italian hands go up in the air. It was a setting defining moment, and we'll go down in history where if that didn't happen and he put pressure on Martin going into that last race, he could have won the championship.
100%. 100%.
Because it was end up being 10-point difference.
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
That's the difference.
And like, look, Bagnaia, he really should have won that title if he just didn't make all those mistakes. But it's easier said than done. But you look back at Marc Marquez 2015, so fast throughout the year, but made so many silly mistakes. You look at 2006 Valentino Rossi, made mistakes, unfortunate as well, had mechanicals. but Nicky Hayden brought it home. So it's just one of those. So Bagnaia can easily go back out next year and just wipe the floor off everyone. The only outlier now is two. Don't know what Martin's going to do on that Aprilia.
Yep.
And Marc Marquez on a Ducati, factory Ducati.
All three of those instances with Hayden, Lorenzo, and Martin winning the championships all been good for the sport and keeps it exciting. It's a good news story, I think. So if we had much of the same, it wouldn't be nearly as exciting.
No, 100%. And it was so good to see. And his celebration was absolutely terrible with the shitty reject shot mask, but it was very fun to watch.
I know.
And you've got to love the passion. How is the just the differences in emotion between Jorge Martin winning the title, which was great to see, and Max Verstappen winning his fourth?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, he was so excited. It was the best thing. You could just tell, like, it was just incredible. You know, broke down crying. I was loving it. And then Verstappen just shaking everyone's hands. No worries. Christian Horner just slapping people in the back. Oh, it's another day at the office. Like, it was just, I can't get over that. It was still so strange to me.
I know. It's something that you've really hung on to through the last few weeks. So, and yeah, it was incredible. And we were in Vegas as well.
Yep.
Like, if you're in, like, the middle of the desert when there's no fans, like, there was thousands and tens of thousands of people there to celebrate, and it was just... It was awkward.
It was awkward. It was an awkward championship win. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
What do you think... And what do you think playing conspiracy... Oh, not conspiracy, but predictions. Do you see Max staying at Red Bull for the foreseeable future? Like, do you see him there in 6 years' time?
No, God no. I see him having one bad year and not winning the championship and going...
That could be next year.
Yeah. Yep.
And if he's going to go, where's the option, you reckon?
As I said, it's going to be one of the McLaren boys will go into that team. Has to be. And they have to start looking at that now. They can't wait for Max to leave to then go, fuck, we really need a championship winning driver now.
Mm.
And that's where Oscar Piastri, for me, should be in that Red Bull seat next year.
That downgrade, though?
It's a downgrade, but... It's a downgrade, definitely, and it's the one. There's two words in Formula One folklore. It's Adrian Newey leaving Red Bull. That's the biggest thing. If Adrian Newey's at Red Bull, going to you know, the new 26th season with those new rules, that's where you want to be. Yeah. But who knows? Aston Martin could be the place.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What do you think is going to go on with there? You obviously got Adrian Newey. Would you say the greatest mind in Formula One?
Great call.
To then. These new rules develop this car, like, you know, is you know, that could be an option for, I'm not going to say for Max, but it could be an option for a big name driver to go there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
But then Lance Stroll has a forever contract.
That's right, he does. See, what about Alonso?
Alonso's last year will be 26, I believe. He's signed until 26, which is going to be 43, I think.
What? So, 2026, and then when does Newey go in? 26?
No, Newey's in next year, but the new rule's 26.
26.
Yeah.
But he's in for 26.
Yeah.
Imagine if Alonso, like, as it builds an amazing car.
And they win. He wins the championship. That's what he's hoping for. That's what Alonso is hoping for. He's got 1 year to have a crack at it.
Do you reckon that would be the greatest championship ever?
Oh, it'd be a... One of the most amazing stories ever, 43-year-old winning a world championship and just sticking it out. He will go down in history as the best and most unluckiest driver. He made so many wrong decisions career-wise.
McLaren back in the day? Didn't he go to McLaren? Was it McLaren he had an absolute stinker with for a bit?
So what happened? He won 05
Renault.
He won 05 and 06 at Renault, and then he got the big contract at McLaren.
Yeah.
Partnered up with Lewis Hamilton first year, 07, sorry. Hamilton and him actually finished equal on points, 1 point behind Kimi Raikkonen in the championship. He left in 08, went back to Renault in 08. He cracked the shits and goes, I'm not going to be in this team because I want to be number one.
And they were going to put Hamilton at number one.
They wanted Hamilton number one. So, and then just made some...
Went to Ferrari?
Went to Ferrari, nearly won a championship in 2012. Got unlucky. We had an amazing few races. The Valencia race in 2012 was incredible.
That was when Verstappen, Vettel came from the clouds in
Brazil to win the title against Alonso, wasn't it?
2012. That's the famous schoolies scenario.
Yeah, that's it.
So yeah, it's one of the best. Actually, very underrated year. 2012 was a really, really good year for Formula One.
Mm.
Really, really good year.
I remember playing a lot of PlayStation with you at that F1 game 2012.
Fuck yeah. F1 2012. We played a lot of PlayStation.
Remember, we used to play online and there was one name we used to see, Iceman. Used to purposely take him out for like 6 months straight. This guy used to crack it. It was from like Norway. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
He was, yeah. He used to send me voice messages and shit.
And every time we'd see him, we'd just target him and take him out. But the online lobbies was ridiculous. Mm. And we were just like, oh, fuck, we would have been 17, but 18.
Bro, you're
then.
Right. Like, I remember.
And we still remember his name.
I know, Iceman.
12 years ago.
No. He used to take
me. Probably listening.
He used to take me out. I used to take him out. Every single race we were together.
Bro, but like, it was for 6 months,
no,
man.
No.
We'd go into a lobby at 11 o'clock at night. We'd see Iceman. Oh, fuck you. Chevron 23.
And he used to have a mate with him. His mate as well, I think.
He was my nemesis.
And you were... I remember you being always so aggressive. Like just
I'd always have to shove it up the inside. MotoGP, fucking, that's it, bro. But that was such an underrated game because it would be, you would only ever do Spa, just about.
Yeah, it was the best.
And you'd have it on dynamic weather.
Yeah.
So then it'll start raining halfway through the race.
It didn't rain every race. It only rained some races. It was the greatest game ever.
Man, and we put some hours in.
Oh, yeah. It was
hours,
so fun.
Hours in F1, there's a lot of people who relate to this. Hours in F1 2012, Gran Turismo. What was that? GTA 5.
GT 5.
You made that that lobby, Simple Racing.
Simple
we used
racing.
To get a shit ton of people
in
there.
Yeah, it was just normal Simple Racing. You used to play Circuit de la Sarthe.
Yep.
And it had like some sort of like thing where if you were leading, everyone else was faster behind you.
Yeah.
So it, like ghosting was on.
Yeah.
So it was always even.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
And it was like that Lexus LFA.
Yeah.
And then, a few other cool
And then
cars.
I remember like buying, they made the 6, and the 6 was shit.
Yeah.
7's a little bit better, but it's nowhere near as good as 5.
5 was elite. Yeah.
And then COD, we played like a lot of COD growing up as well.
A shit ton of Call of Duty back in the day, of course. Modern Warfare 2. And a bit of MotoGP as well. A lot of MotoGP.
Yeah, a little bit of MotoGP for me.
But F1... 2012, and I think Gran Turismo, besides Call of Duty, where like fuck, we did some hours.
Jeez, I actually forgot about the fucking. How can we play Gran Turismo for like a year straight?
At least.
I think that was 2013.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe because I think we.
So it was around 2012, 2013.
Yeah, because 2012, I think we got over. We got over playing F1, and we went to Gran Turismo in 2013. I think.
Mm. Makes sense.
But you just don't have the time for it now.
Oh, bro. Like, well, 12. We're like degenerate 17, 18-year-olds. Yeah. Oh, from like 15, I guess, playing.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. We're pretty quick with that. And they had that Red Bull hypercar thing.
Yeah, it was a great game.
All right. Next one is a highly, highly anticipated fraud of the year.
Oh God! Well, it's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? I'll let you do the honors, though, James.
Look, there's many reasons why this man is fraud of the year, and everyone is listening or watching right now already knows who it is. And if you're thinking of it, you are correct. Yeah, the reasons are
tell us why.
We'll go back. Let's go back and figure out why he's our fraud now. There is murmurs about this rider probably since the start of this podcast, let's be honest. And what he's done is he's promised a lot. He's done quite a bit, but he's never succeeded into his full potential, and that's what we want to see.
Mm.
Whether that be because of himself, his mental state, his bike, he started testing really well, and I've actually got some very interesting news that has come out about this and his recent test. He's testing with Yamaha.
With KTM?
No, with Yamaha.
Oh.
With Yamaha. So our fraud of the year, inaugural fraud of the year, and I'm going to name this fraud of the year after Maverick Vinales. So it's going to be the Maverick Vinales, you are our fraud of the year, and it's going to be named after him. It's going to be the Maverick Vinales fraud of the year. The MV fraud of the year.
I love it.
Sponsored by MV Augusta. It's going to probably go under soon.
Speaking of frauds.
Yeah.
Far out. That goes head in head. That's amazing. Both the same initials.
Yeah.
Maverick, and if we all, everyone would know this by now, but he has blocked us.
Yeah.
On all social media.
I couldn't think you'd get any more fraudy than he did that.
Our personal accounts, our sponsors accounts, yep. And obviously our business account. So yeah, Maverick, you know, it's the reason why you are a fraud is because you show these signs of greatness. You win at CODA, you top testing.
But the thing is, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I have to say this, is everyone jumps on his bandwagon as soon as he wins. Yes. The whole world was like, he's going to win a championship. And it happens every year.
Yep.
Every year he'll win that race. And then he does nothing.
Yeah.
So this all came from Yamaha testing. And I swear to God, he's listening to us. Because he came out and justified his Yamaha testing speed.
Okay.
Which is really interesting. It was actually really interesting. And he says he tested that bike in the first year he was on there, which was like 2017 or something, right? He said the bike was perfect. I'm fast on it. He begged Yamaha not to change it. Don't change it. But Valentino Rossi was his teammate and they went down Valentino's path on developing the bike. A little bit of a Marquez type of situation.
Yep. So what year was
his? Whenever he first jumped on. So it must be like 17, 18.
Yep.
And then he just couldn't get up to speed. He would beg them for the next 2 years to stop changing the bike. Like, let me have some input. He never had the input. Mm. So that first bike that he rode in that Valencia test where he was really fast and named himself Fraud Vinales is a different bike than what he got even the next year.
Okay.
So just a little bit of clarification to it. But then he still goes out, wins on the Aprilia, does nothing, and then he rev bombed the fuck out of Yamaha, tried to blow the engine, and then got kicked out, which is such a crazy scenario that even happened. And then he got picked up after it, which is pretty insane.
There's so much to unravel for that, and we'll see. I hopefully KTM just give him some sort of machine with some sort of development this year, so we can see honestly how he goes. But yeah, he's the king of frauds at the moment, and what's the future hold for our next fraud? We've got a little bit of murmurs where...
Yeah, well, look, we've got a leader of the race, I guess you could say, for next year, and that's Fermin Aldegaer.
Mm.
He's starting on Fraud Watch next year. We're going to have a new way of showing everyone Fraud Watch next year as well. We've got a whole new thing coming, which is going to be awesome.
Because fraud, guys, is not just being shit or being underperforming. It is...
There's science behind it.
There's science behind it. There is the hype around this person, then he does nothing. There is like the Tsunoda, it's a special mention. So much hype about how good he is, but has done nothing.
Correct.
So fraud.
Yep.
So that's the big thing. It's hype. It's hype.
Not living up to the hype.
Hype divided by skill equals fraud.
Now that's science. Okay.
Albert Einstein actually came up with that in 1876. Okay, they call it the MV Augusta. That's what that's what the motorcycle company was named after. Unravel that how you will. Okay, unravel that how you will.
They actually built a time machine predicted fraud. Maverick Vinales. That's why they named it after him.
Oh God! Page 16 of the Bible. Read it. Read it. That's us.
Got a photo of us in front of its fireplace. You dogs.
Oh goodness.
That's the funniest thing ever. Fermin. He's on a fraud watch closely, but a little bit followed by Marco Bezzecchi.
Oh, good call. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Hype behind him, but there's definitely a lot of hype around Fermin Aldegaer. Did fuck all in Moto2, gone up to MotoGP. He's our new fraud watch leader.
Yeah, interesting.
So he could be winning our second year of the MV.
MV Fraud of the Year.
Fraud of the Year.
Love that.
We're going to have to somehow mail a trophy and find out something. Find out address or something. We've got to do something for that.
Yeah, okay. We'll work it out. We'll have to give it to him at Phillip Island.
You know what, though? As much as we've given Maverick Vinales shit about this, it's got us a lot of fans, got us a lot of hate. But all we want to see him do is win. And all we want to see him do is acknowledge what this is and just have a laugh with it.
Yeah.
We don't hate the guy, obviously. We would love to see him win a championship.
Yeah, we've gone on record and say that. Yeah. We'd like nothing more.
Yeah.
And just embrace it because the more you fight it, the more fraud you are.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Great call. All right, Tomislav. Now, we're not talking frauds anymore. We're talking fans. We want to give our shout outs to our...
We'll finish with that, won't we?
No, our finishing is our number one ticket holder.
But we've got our tearjerker of the year.
Yeah, I was going to skip past that, but if you want to do that...
No, we'll skip past that. It's fine. We're all positive vibes.
Yeah, we're all positives.
Yeah. So this is our final segment for tonight.
Yeah.
Guys, we want to talk about our beautiful fans. Now, we're going to talk about our shout outs first. So we've got a long list of shout outs that we want to talk about. So number one shout out is Jared Mazden. Mate, Jazza, I've nicknamed you. You have shown excellent spirit throughout the year. Keep those audio VMs to 30 seconds if you can, mate. Love you for you to do that.
He actually breaks the mold. He does two. He does a 30-second one and then another 30-second one.
That's fine. I'm happy with that. That's all good, Jazz. But thanks for the support, mate. Luke Miller, always up there. Thanks so much. Drayston Silver, all the way from Ohio. He's been in there all year. Stephen Brayshaw Layfield. Mate, congratulations. He won the tickets this year, which will be running again next year. I saw him down at the ride day. True fan. Actually got angry at us because we didn't upload the pod quick enough on Tuesday morning. Yeah. Kyle McDermott, we catch up with him every year at Phillip Bowl. I'd love to catch up with him more over the year.
We smoked a cigar in the middle of the dance floor of Kyle.
We did. And the first time we saw Kyle was 23. Walking up the street and we saw him wearing our Rossi t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, true.
And that's how we started
talking. Good guy, really good guy.
Nikki D, thanks for all your input. Harp Mel Bond, thanks for all your hot takes throughout the year. Dat Shady V4, thanks for all the support. Harry Swain.
Swainstagram.
Maddie Ould, hilarious voicemail.
OG fan as well.
OG fan. Travis Ould's long lost son. Maddie Stevens, thank you for your support. Damiano Garapoli. Undisputed original fan from the start. Damo Mad Valentino Rossi fan.
Rip to the pizza oven and rip to Valentino Rossi because he doesn't look at any of them anymore.
Damo, we love you, but you got to get back into MotoGP, mate. Just because Rossi's not there doesn't mean you can't watch it.
You're filling all the stereotypes right now.
Mark Bandana Man, Dammy, probably...
OG.
OG fan, and we love Mark, and very controversial figure in today's world, but...
For many reasons.
But he's resilient, non-stop. Yeah. The messages and the memes and the video, he's not unbelievable. I don't know where he finds the time. But Mark, thank you.
Thank you for the free wine as well.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Yeah, I appreciate that, mate. All what I've done for you. Will Jobson, again, thank you. Jack Giles, we caught up with him, Philip Island, Jack Giles.
Yeah, OG fan.
OG fan as well. Candice Dutoot, all the way from the Netherlands.
South Africa.
Thank you, James. She's been an OG as well. Stepsy, Chris Steps, we're going to give you a shout out, mate. Big Bag Nye fan. Bad luck this year, mate. Sorry about that. But the best man won. Bag Nye just wasn't good enough. Blakey Mills, met you last year. We're looking forward to catching up.
Thanks for that, JD.
Looking forward to catching up next year. He has promised me he's going to be down at Phillip Island with the boys for a boys' trip. So I'm going to hold you to that, mate. Dave-O Bell, local Diamond Creeker.
Yeah.
So I ran into Dave-O at the local Mite at 10.
This is a crazy story, actually.
And he's listened to the pod where he's like, Tom, what the hell, man?
It was in his earpiece.
And then we caught up with him at Phillip Island, partied with him for a bit. Legend. Lukey Kappa. Thanks, mate. Thanks for all the input you've had for the year. Last but not least, what do we call him? The snowman, maybe? The snowman, Lockie Boyle?
Fraud snowman.
It's fraud snowman, cheesy Lockie Boyle.
Yeah.
All talk. Too many double blacks on the Saturday.
Double black Boyle, actually. Double black Boyle. Or Chockey Boyle. Chocky Boyle.
Chocky Boyle. That Chocky Boyle. So it is Chocky Boyle.
Yeah, it's Chocky,
Chocky
Boyle.
Chocky joined us.
Love ya.
Stay with us for GP. Thanks, mate. Really appreciate all your support throughout the year. And just keep them coming, guys. We just, and if we've missed anyone, we are sorry. But like, there's just so many people that write in and
so many. We try to get back to everyone. And we really, 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 really appreciate. I can't emphasize it enough how much we appreciate everyone sending in their hot takes, their voice messages.
Yep.
Just messages through racing or just through the week. Memes. It's so fun to see. And the whole reason why we want to do this podcast as well is to, you know, talk to people our age at the same time. And it's any age, but a lot of people our age write in. It's a big demographic as well. And love talking shit about F1 or MotoGP or them informing us about sidecar racing or random stuff like that, motocross stuff. So it doesn't go unnoticed. We try and see all of it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, number one ticket holder. Special mention. Yep. So runner-up.
Yeah, runner-up.
Runner-up, Willie Nels.
Yep.
Mate, thank you for all the support. You would be the number one messenger.
Yeah.
He loves messaging in, loves talking about Formula One and MotoGP.
OG fan.
And thanks so much for the gifts as well. He rode all the way down from Bendigo last week, a couple of weeks ago, to see James down at Motor Heaven and gifted us a couple of Mick Doohan hats.
Yeah, we're sending you a prize pack.
We're sending you a prize pack, Willie Nels, not only because you're runner-up, because it is a prize pack, but also as a thank you for those caps. But guys, we can't go past the number one ticket holder for 2024. It's Cold Papa.
Yep.
All the way from India.
Yep.
We don't know what he looks like.
Could be a bot still.
We don't know what he sounds like, but he has been an amazing support this year. He has done all our tipping. We didn't even think of it. We didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
Halfway through the year or the first half of the year, he said, boys, this is the tally.
Yeah.
This is how you're going. He did the graphics for it. He did everything for it. So for that, you are number one ticket holder for 2024. And congratulations, you have won an amazing prize pack that will be sent to you, to your house. Hopefully it gets there. International air shipping. It will be there in the new year for you, Papa. And if you were ever in Australia, mate, knock on one of our door and we'll go out for a nice tikka masala.
Yep. Sounds good.
So
I love it. That's great. It's really appreciate everything you guys do.
Yep.
It's,
and guys, keep it coming. Let's just build this together. We're building the Republica. So keep them coming. It's going to be huge 2025. Thank you to our sponsors, Moto Heaven. You've been amazing. Thank you to our older sponsors, MJ Trading Cards. Thanks for the support over the year. Thirst Trap was our number one sponsor. Curtis Maroney from Baldwin. The richest man, the richest 25-year-old man in the world. He has been an amazing support for us. Thank you, Daniel, who's not here right now, but thanks for all the help throughout the year. And to James, you're an amazing man and you've done an amazing job all year with all your clips and everything.
Mate,
so thank you.
All good. Thank you. Thank you for help running the show. It's been awesome. Absolutely love it. Thanks to Benzina Stables as well for letting us stay.
Of course, Benzina. My God, how could I forget? Benzina has been the most amazing sponsor of ours. They have set up their podcast studio at their place. They let us in every week. They've been fantastic. So thank you to Lukey Luke, KP, Little Lucas. Sparkles, thanks for all the help throughout the year as well.
Been an absolutely amazing year, but doesn't end here. We've got plenty of content for every week. We're still doing all our reels. We've still got guests coming, but it's Christmas. Let's have a few drinks.
And guys, have a safe Christmas. Couple days time. It's releasing this on Monday the 23rd. So have a lovely Christmas with your family. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe and we'll be back.
Send us photos of your Christmas lunches. I'm always excited to see that. I want to see your ham. Show us your ham.
Show us your hams. Don't worry, we might take that the wrong way, but show us your ham.
Don't worry about it. Send it through.
Yeah, send it through.
She'll be right.
Which, it's been an incredible year.
It's been awesome, mate. Can't wait to keep doing it for next year and everything like that. We've got a massive next year, 2025 coming. So it's very exciting. We absolutely love all the fans and what we do. So
beautiful.
It's awesome, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers, guys. See you guys. Have a great Christmas. See you later.